me, yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see. Come on out and join us, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
And this is where you want to be. 96.5 The Fan, Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey, our executive producer. Boys, I am very, very happy this morning. Not only because Royals are in first place, but it's because how they gotten to first place. And yesterday was one of those real tests of a day. Like, this entire series of Cleveland has been a test of what this team's grit is at this point in the season. You lose your starter and your ace in the first game, hamstring injury. Second game, you come back, you're captain of your team, blasts a grand slam to bust it wide open. Game three yesterday, you go through a 2-hour rain delay. Not only that, your starter Michael Lorenzen goes out. Your bullpen steps up, and in two of the three games in this series, when the bullpen had its back against the wall, it's still not a fully trusted bullpen. But this is when, if you were going to turn it around or at least show some signs of truth, they've done it against Cleveland. They've been asked all year by the fan base, "Can you win against good teams?" It's great that you go 12-1 against the White Sox. They're now 7-2 versus Cleveland. They own the tiebreaker. Yeah. They sit in first place tied with Cleveland. They have a 2.5 game lead over the Minnesota Twins. And your Kansas City Royals, as of August 28th, are in first place in the American League Central.
Well, and I think when you add two numbers together, you see why the Royals are in first place. The record against the White Sox, the record against the Guardians is 19-3. I mean, you're 19-3 against the White Sox and the Guardians this year. Mm. And that's not even counting the Tigers, who they've pretty much beat up on. And so when you have that kind of record against the teams in your division, you're putting yourself at a major advantage. There's 16 games over 500 just against Cleveland and the White Sox combined. And so when you play that style of baseball and you win at that kind of rate, you're going to win this division. And I thought last night was probably one of the more impressive wins that we've seen by this Royal squad for the entire year. Not because they had to wait out a rain delay, but the way that it happened. You had Michael Lorenzen starting. He got hurt running over to first base, right? So you got the hamstring thing going on with him. We'll talk to Q at 9 o'clock, get the latest on him, the latest on Bobby Witt, the latest on Cole Reagans. So he had to leave the game. Bullpen has to come in that situation, and we know the bullpen has not been good going into this series against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. The bullpen led by Carlos Hernandez was on fire last night, right? You saw a great performance by the bullpen. Then the rains come, and you got to sit around for, you know, 2.5 hours and listen to interviews with folks that nobody really even knows anymore, and then you're back to baseball 2.5 hours later. And so then the bullpen has to step up in that situation, and they come in and pitch, what, 5 scoreless innings or whatever it was to kind of close things out. You saw Bobby Witt get hit on the hand. You saw Paul DeJong step up for him. You saw Massey step up. You saw Garcia step up last night. Last night was impressive because if you would have told me a starter left the game and the bullpen had to go basically 7 innings and Bobby Witt got hurt in that game, are they going to win? The answer to that question is no. The bullpen is showing me a lot over these last couple of games, last couple of days in Cleveland. They're pitching very good against a good baseball team, and they're taking advantage of the Cleveland Indians scuffling a little bit right now, but by God, this bullpen is gaining confidence, and that's what it's all about at this point in the season. All year we were telling the bullpen they were no good, they stunk. Now they're out there performing awesome, and they're buying into themselves. They're seeing that success, and man, when you see that success, it just breeds more success. And I think this bullpen may have this jumping off point now, and hopefully this continues as we move forward.
The thing that's crazy, I think, about this season is that, you know, last year, 56 total wins. They're already at, what, 75?
Yeah.
Almost 20 games better than they were last year. Maybe they're 76 and 55. Either way, it's just a complete, total, different sort of season in the obvious. But, like, you look at where it all shakes down, and we'll be joined by Royals manager Mac Trero here at 9 o'clock. But the thing that's crazy about this is that, you know, it's a completely revamped team. You're really riding the coattails of your team captain and your team MVP. you put together a rotation, and it goes back to the beginning of the season when it was spring training before even that, and the moves were made for Waka and Lugo, and you know, you make all these different acquisitions and you build up your team's, you know, starting pitching, which was so putrid for the last 7 years.
Right.
Obviously, this team is 20 games better because of that. Quality starts. Michael Walker, I think, has had, what, like five in a row? And he's going out there again today, getting the slab to go for the sweep for the
Who's
Royals.
Who's going for Cleveland today?
Doesn't matter. I don't care.
Exactly. It doesn't matter right now.
And Michael Walker, who's your veteran leader, and you've already won the series, 3 out of 3 games so far, going for a series sweep. This is one of those things where this has been great from the get-go, where everybody on MLB Network was like, watch out for the Royals. They're a sleeper team. Well, they're officially awake now,
yeah.
and everybody else is awake too. And this is one of those moments where we saw this sort of thing in 14 and 15 where all they needed was a little bit of a spark. And once they got it, they ignited it into almost like a forest fire. Like, it was just uncontrollable how much everything would go well for them. And you look at this series and little tidbits of this series with the MJ catch in left field that saves the game.
Right.
Rides the momentum the rest of the series. Bobby Wood Jr.
That really did, but Dusty. Like, that catch, I think, is going to be looked at as a play that carries this team, because even in Ryan's call, you hear he saved two. And you said yesterday, that could have been an inside the park home run for all we know. He may have saved 3 runs in that situation. That was a big play for the season.
No doubt about it. And then you have the go-ahead home run by Bobby Wood Jr. Then the next game, Sal Perez hits 2 home runs, one of which is a 457-foot grand slam, which shows you that the vibes are high and immaculate as well. You go into the third game, your starter again goes out after an inning and a third, your bullpen comes up and says, it's on us, boys, and MacArthur goes 2 innings, 4 strikeouts. Well done.
Well done,
Not
yeah.
only that, you look at what this team did. Paul DeJong comes to this team as a trade acquisition, where a lot of people say that the Royals won the trade. Does this.
That's well hit into right center field. Go, ball! It will go, indeed, into the third row. Paul DeJong goes to the opposite field.
And it's crazy because you kind of see the glimpse and you want to always play comparisons to the teams in the past. And sometimes it's fair and sometimes it doesn't merit a comparison. But you get a lot of Ben Zobrist vibes of a guy that can give you that 6th spot in the lineup. Now, I know Zobrist at the time was hitting second or sometimes leadoff, but those positions are already filled, and you can rotate your leadoff hitter, kind of like they did eventually until Ned was like, the hell with it, I'm putting Esky at leadoff. I don't care what anybody says.
And I don't care what Twitter says. Yeah. I'm putting Esky at the leadoff spot.
And now you have a solidified 2 through 6, maybe 2 through 7, because we've seen even Melendez show up in a time period. And all I'm wanting to see now, Bob and Mac, from this point forward is, now you've tasted the blood of the victims of the AL Central. Now you are reigning supreme. Keep your foot on the throat and show them that you belong in this spot. And I don't have any sort of caution for that because right. of what this rotation can be. Maybe this bullpen kind of knows what its role is and they're stopped trying to try so hard and they just have to be themselves. Melendez has arrived at the right time. You still have an MVP in Bobby Wood Jr. You have your team captain in Salvador Perez, and everything is clicking right now. Keep your foot on the gas, keep your foot on the throat, and continue to move forward as the team in the Central to be the top team.
You know, we've all tasted that forbidden fruit once or twice in our lives and know what that taste is. And you're like, man, I want more of this, right? And I think first place has been kind of the forbidden fruit for the Royals for a very long time. We're not used to being on top, right? But now they have the opportunity to kind of taste that forbidden fruit, and you don't want to give it back. Once you have that taste of first place and being on top of that division, you don't want to let go and you don't want to give it back. I got a call from a friend of mine who works in minor league baseball again yesterday, and he goes, did you look at the roster like I told you to about 2 months ago, compared this to the 2014-2015 Houston Astros roster, like Correa and Bobby Wood Jr., both young players at the time. The rosters are very similar, winning in the minor leagues together, and then boom, you hit the scene, and all of a sudden you're here and you're on fire and you're playing great baseball. And the Royals really are right now reminiscent of that 2015 Houston Astros team that kind of just appeared on the scene with a lot of young players and a lot of cornerstones to your organization. They've got it in Vinny. They've got it in Bobby. You've got it in Salvi, obviously, with the veteran. Your pitching staff is doing really good things. And you know what this does? This opens the door now, even if you don't win the World Series this year, which is okay, by the way. It's okay to make the playoffs, not win the World Series. But you know how much more attractive this place just became for a free agent? agent, right? You know how much more attractive this place became for John Sherman to say, yeah, go out there and spend some more money, or go out there and make a trade, and go out there and get somebody big. And all of a sudden now, you know, and I've been talking about Blake Snell for a while, all of a sudden you look at a guy like Blake Snell where people say, oh, no way he would ever want to come to Kansas City. I look at it and say, why wouldn't you want to come to Kansas City right now? Or Corbin Burns, I know he's going to break the market and it's going to be expensive, and he's going to command a whole lot of money on the free agent market. But why wouldn't you consider Kansas City right now? You come to an organization that has nothing but upside right now. You've signed your cornerstone to this organization to a long-term deal. You've got great young players. You've got great young pitching right now. You've got an opportunity to do something special this offseason and make your team even better going into next year. Like, this is just the beginning of a run that I think we're going to see here in Kansas City, where we're not always talking about, oh, 10 years ago we made the playoffs, 5 years ago we did this. We're going to be talking about it being consistent, and they're going to kind of be like the Chiefs, where you wake up every February and your expectation is the Royals are going to have a good season, they're going to go to the playoffs, and they're going to challenge for a championship every year. And that's where we are right now, guys. It's okay to embrace that. Stop with the well buts and the yeah buts and all that kind of stuff. Embrace this moment right now. Our team's in freaking first place. They were 10 games out at the beginning of July, and they're sitting in first place right now. I broke out my We Own the Central t-shirt for the first time in 8 years because we do own the Central division. And if you're not fired up about it right now, man, get fired up about it.
Royals in first place. Also, don't forget Friday, visit Kansas City, Kansas Red Friday sports betting t-shirt giveaway this Friday afternoon with me, Dusty Likens. I'll be at Tanner's Bar and Grill on 39th and Rainbow and KCK. Stop by between 3 and 5 to enjoy drink specials and get entered to win a pair of Kansas State football tickets. We will draw the winner at 5 p.m. at Tanner's on 39th and Rainbow in KCK. You'll want to hurry because quantities are limited. KCK is always the better bet. Bet in KCK.com. Coming back on the other side, we asked some weapon questions for one Patrick Mahomes. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey, our executive producer, with us as well.
We haven't heard from him since he dropped the curse word about an hour ago.
Ship. Yeah, he was talking about my Caribbean cruise.
Thank you.
The royal ship is moving very steady
right
now.
That's right, yeah.
The waters are clear. Everybody's having a good time. Cocktails are flowing.
Exactly, thank you.
Yeah, he said ship.
Yeah, all right.
Still all recovering. Aboard the ship. Is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
How many people like that ship analogy now, boys?
Yeah, it's funny. I thought that what would bring me to that breaking point would be a Bob take, not a Dusty take, but it was you, Dusty.
It's okay. I can own that. I'm as far as narcissism as you'll ever meet. Call me Narnia. Get in a land of make-believe, you know?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. You ever watch that movie? Oh, wait, you're not a movie guy.
Not a movie guy.
Never seen a movie in his life. I can't believe you guys have never seen American Beauty. Anyways, let's get into sports.
It's never been for me. Ask my wife. I think we've been together about 20 years. I don't know that I have gone to 10 movies with her. It's crazy. Just, you know, it's just never been my thing.
I'm trying to think about big movies that have come in theaters.
And I will tell you this, Mac just hit home why I don't go to movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever see the movie The Smurfs?
I know. Yeah, Mac has.
Royals are in first place
yep.
today.
Correct.
The Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Where yep. else would you rather be than right here, right now, as they like to say in Kansas City, right? Like, for so many years, Dusty, we would look at other cities, more like Boston, and be like just envious that every team is always good. And we're like, can we just have 1 year where our team's good? Mm-hmm. And now we've got a three-peat ready to go in 8 days. We've got a first place team ready to roll that I don't believe is ever going to give up first place. That's why I said last week, I guarantee you that they're going to win this division. They're just playing great baseball right now. And other teams are starting to struggle a little bit. And when you start to have that doubt creep in like Cleveland has had, I think it shows you that you're incapable of winning because the doubt is there. And the Cleveland baseball team right now is playing with a whole bunch of doubt. I remember my wife's uncle is like their VP of communications for Cleveland. So, you know, she's got some Cleveland ties, and I talk to him quite often. And at the beginning of the year, I was texting, and I go, would you just please lose a damn game so we can catch you in the standings? Oh, little did I know, Uncle Bob, we'd be sitting here today on the 28th day, my parents' 53rd wedding anniversary. Shout out, Mom and Dad. Happy anniversary. That the Royals would be sitting in first place. And they overcame a 10-game deficit, you know, about a month ago, or, you know, a month and a half ago, and they're sitting in first place right now. That just tells you, man, the unbelievable nature of this ball club, the chutzpah that this team has right now. And they spit into the face of all adversity, and now they're on top, and they're not letting this thing go. I promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you woke up this morning and saw the tweets or all the Facebook posts or all your Instagram posts, yeah, the Royals are in first place. It's a real thing.
Right.
So enjoy it. Have fun with it. Live in the time. And know that you can find all the information and all the sounds and audio here on 96.5 The Fan. Thought this was interesting. Not necessarily the take. I think the take is fine because it's still, I think, such a small sample size, 7 years. But there's a tweet that says the Chiefs offense has the most weapons they've ever had in the Patrick Mahomes era.
Mm-hmm.
Some would be like, well, yeah, obviously. There's been a time where they had Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Kareem
Watson.
Hunt.
Yes!
And Travis Kelce.
Yep.
This is now the offense they're going with this year, which is Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Pacheco, and then they add another name, Carson Steele.
Carson Steele, yeah.
So we'll see. And like I said earlier, kind of fakish, but not really. I had a thought process more than a dream. Took a 25-minute nap yesterday.
See, perfect. That's a wheelhouse nap right there. You feel much better.
And yeah. I got to the consensus in this little, you know, weird situation. That is, Carson Steele could be Kyle Juszczyk. And he's been a great piece for that San Francisco offense.
Yeah,
in fact,
nice,
he was key in the Super Bowl last year where he got a first down.
He was better than Kittle in the Super Bowl.
Well, he's when you have four of your targets only acquire 85 yards on six catches, that just ain't throwing. But Carson Steele on this list is interesting because the way I think about this after seeing this and zonking out for 25 was maybe he could be that guy. That could be the Kyle Juszczyk. Like Kyle Juszczyk is not one of those guys that's going to go out there and give you 70 yards rushing, 80 yards receiving, but it's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And teams have to think about that. And I started thinking about, you know, fictitious plays that I could see happening. Like there's like a double curl drag on the left side and Kelce's over the top and Steele's underneath. And, you know, the defense gravitates towards Travis Kelce because why wouldn't they? Carson Steele gets that little 5-yard dump off. And then we don't know what happens after that. And how many times have we seen the Chiefs kind of get stuck where they get a 4-yard carry from Isaiah Pacheco on first down. And next thing you know, you look at it and it's 4th and 2 or 3rd and 2. And it's like, what do they do here? Well, now that
it's the worst situation for the last couple of years for this offense has been 3rd and short.
And now you have an opportunity to do that, but also those 2nd and medium plays that are like 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6. Like you could run those plays or you could run a misdirection to Carson Steele and the way that he runs, the way that he can be that weapon. That's where I see that working. You move up the list, Isaiah Pacheco, already know what he is.
Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster, he's not the same weapon, but he's your reliable. He's your, you know, in a video first-person shooter game, he's your little revolver, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be accurate. He's going to be what you need for a short little, like, pass out or a 1st and, you know, a 3rd and 4 or a 3rd and 5 or, you know, even a 2nd and 5 where you just want to keep the chains moving. That's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster.
You're not going to rely on him a lot, but when you need him, he's going to be there, right? He's going to be that Mr. Old Reliable for you that I think every team, regardless of sports, needs to have. You need Mr. Reliable. Mm-hmm. Paul DeJong is kind of becoming that guy for the Royals right now. Like, oh my God, that's a veteran guy that may not put up the best of numbers, but man, when you need him to come through, when you need a professional at bat, that's the guy you go to. And that's what Juju Smith-Schuster is going to present to you. That's why, you know, God, if I hear more about like what this means for Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, no, Juju Smith-Schuster was brought in to make the team better. He's a reliable wide receiver. You need veterans that know how to win. Juju Smith-Schuster is that guy.
I also put it as this is why Kadarius Toney's not on the team and Juju Smith-Schuster is.
I don't think Kadarius Toney would be on the team even if Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't on this team right now. I didn't think Kadarius Toney had a shot to make the team before Juju Smith-Schuster made this team.
Fair enough. Xavier Worthy, the new shiny toy that has shown early on, at least in camp, with or without pads, preseason games. He's had some big moments where it's like, hey, we're going to run almost a similar play to Jet Chip Wass, where it's third and, you know, 11, and they got 30-some yards on the play.
Correct.
Caught a touchdown from Carson Wentz. Just looks like he's fit the part that he needs to be, which is not going to be a wide-open playbook, but I think with the evolution of what Rashee Rice showed last year, Xavier Worthy's going to merit a little bit more of an attention from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in that playbook.
Right.
You move up to Hollywood Brown, you know what weapon he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rashee Rice, what can he advance his game into, right? He's your, you know, what Juju Smith-Schuster used to be, plus a little bit more. He's younger. He's more talented at that time period than Juju Smith-Schuster was, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Quicker, stronger. He can do the underneath. He can go a little bit deeper. He can break a tackle and take it to the house, as we saw last year. You know what Rashee Rice's weapon was. Can it be advanced? Can you add a little bit more ammo to it? And then Travis Kelce, the surefire go-to bread and butter guy that you're going to have. So to say these are the most weapons, yes.
Yeah.
To say they're the best weapons he's had at cohesive unit, yes as well.
I think the answer is yes. You've got a lot of guys out there on the field. You don't just have Sammy and Travis and essentially Tyreek Hill on your team right now. Because you look at that team that won the Super Bowl. You didn't have Kareem Hunt on that team.
Mm.
You did not have running backs that were household names on that team. I do like Damian Williams a lot. I like Darrell Williams a lot, too. I thought Dan Williams was a pretty good running back, right? And he should have been Super Bowl MVP, but number 15 made a couple of plays there at the end and captured that Super Bowl MVP from Dan Williams. And so he was good. I think Isaiah Pacheco's better than Dan Williams was during that period of time. And you have more weapons right now, right? Like, is anybody ever going to be as good as Tyreek Hill? It's going to be tough. I mean, in our lifetimes, I don't know that we'll see a better wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs than what Tyreek Hill was, right? Like, in our lifetime, we'll never see a better shortstop for the Royals than what we're witnessing right now with Bobby Witt Jr. We'll never see a better catcher right now than what we're witnessing in Salvador Perez, right? There are certain guys where you're never going to see a player better than. And I'm willing to say that about Tyreek Hill. He's the greatest wide receiver we've ever seen in Kansas City. Now, could Xavier Worthy be better? He could. It's hard. It's going to be difficult, but he could. Mm-hmm. Could Rashee Rice be better? He could, but it's going to be difficult. We're watching the best quarterback and the best tight end. We'll never see anything better than that in our lifetime. But now that you've got a mass of weapons out there for Patrick Mahomes, it's not just two wide receivers and maybe old reliable. You've got Xavier Worthy, who they're going to count on and they love. You've got Rashee Rice, who they absolutely 100% can count on. Hollywood Brown, when he's back, is somebody that they can count on. Juju is somebody that they can count on. Travis Kelce is somebody that they can count on. And they absolutely love what's going on with the running back situation with that kind of that dual-headed monster back there. And I do think we're going to see a lot. I don't want to say split carries, however you want to determine it, but it's not going to always be Isaiah Pacheco. Like, you know, Thor's going to get his opportunity, right? Carson, mm-hmm. the Animal Steel, Warhorse, whatever we're calling the guy, he's going to get his opportunities to carry the football. And that's why I think this team, from a weapons standpoint, is the best that Patrick Mahomes had, because every guy has a legit shot to make a big time play for this team.
Back, how excited are you for this offense? More than you've ever been, probably, is fair to say.
I would say I have more expectations than I've ever had. I'd say that. Yeah, I think when we talk about the vengeance and the revenge season that is this year for the Chiefs coming off of a Super Bowl win, and just kind of their attitude of, you know, how Bob's talked about, we're going to go out and destroy people. Yeah, I would say it's quantity over quality when you look at the weapons. Yeah, maybe it's not the quote-unquote best group because, yeah, Watkins, Kelce, and Hill is such a triple-headed.
Hill takes that thing to a different level,
it's a new
right?
thing,
and
right? It's just
I'll
different.
I'll be a Sammy Watkins apologist to the day I die
great
of
player.
How good he really was.
Great player.
You know?
Great player, but it's just those three. I'll take quantity, though, over quality a lot of time. You got 6-7 guys that are solid, reliable weapons with, you know, I think one of them still being a superstar, obviously, in Travis Kelce. And you mentioned the two, you know, the second-year player and the rookie and Worthy, Rice and Worthy. One of those two guys, maybe both of them, step up this year and really take that leap. But I think Rashee Rice especially has the chance to be kind of, you know, here in Kansas City, we know him and we love him. But I think across the NFL landscape, he could take that jump into, oh, Rashee Rice is the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, because he came on late last year.
Yep.
He very much came on about the same time that Jordan Love came on last year. And the reason I use that as comparison is because Jordan Love came on late in the season and parlayed that into the postseason, a really nice postseason, got himself a big contract. Everybody thinks Jordan Love is the greatest quarterback on earth now, right? Fine. Rashee Rice kind of came on about the same time. He's not getting the love at the wide receiver position like Jordan Love is getting at the quarterback position. Again, that's the nature of the beast and the nature of those those positions. But, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I think the Chiefs are going to score a touchdown on every drive this year.
I mean,
who's going to stop them?
Your optimism is I'm very jealous of it.
Who's going to stop them?
We'll yeah, really out. Themselves. That's
right.
Literally
I mean,
it.
Seriously,
that's literally
like,
it.
Like when you roll out all those weapons and you just have waves of guys that can attack you, how are you going to stop that? Because you can't double anybody anymore. Like you can't just say to yourself, okay, let's double Travis. Well, then you got Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy with one-on-one coverage. Mm. You've got Isaiah Pacheco one-on-one. You can get him out of the backfield. You got Thor back there now, the animal steel, you know, Warhorse, whatever. Like you've got so many different guys out there on the field. It's not like, you know, you roll out there with one great wide receiver and a good tight end, and you can say, all right, we can try to eliminate those two guys. Well, you know what? You can't do that anymore.
No.
Like you can't go out there in the old Bill Belichick days and say, we're going to take your best player away. Fine. You want to take Travis Kelce away and you want to double Travis Kelce? Xavier Worthy's beating you over the top. Rashee Rice is beating you on the intermediate route. Juju Smith-Schuster's going to make big plays mm-hmm. and continue to move the chain. Oh, and then boom, pop from Isaiah Pacheco. Like, where is this offense going to get stopped? Penalties?
Yeah, yes.
You know, an occasional turnover or something like that? Like, that's the only way they're going to do it. It's going to be so... Like, I can't wait in 8 days to watch this team just absolutely destroy and throttle every opponent that's in their way.
Well, tighten down those pants a little bit because you got a little bit of a weight here, Bob.
God, I feel like Binkley.
Yeah, well... It's
just so exciting to be like a sports fan in Kansas City right now. Like this is literally the year we have dreamt about our entire lives.
Oh, yeah.
It is the first time that we're headed into September with championship expectations for both of our teams, right?
Amazing.
Like 14, you didn't expect much from either. You're happy to be there. 15, you kind of expected the Royals to be good. The Chiefs, you didn't know. They started 1-5. Everybody wrote them off, and then they won 11 in a row, right? And got that first playoff win of the Andy mm-hmm. Reid era over Houston. This is the first time that we're entering September, and we're getting ready for an October of games that are going to matter on both sides of the parking lot. And I was just thinking in my mind, I'm having some friends come over on Saturday, you know, later in the day, and I'm like, God, I got my Buckeyes playing. The Royals are going to be playing. There's other good college football going on. Like, oof. I don't know that two TVs is going to be enough outside, fellas. Like, I may have to roll a third TV or a fourth TV out there because there's so much captivating sports to watch right now. And it's all local. It's all stuff that's going on. We got three local football teams that are going to be doing it. Like, we're in the mecca of sports right now. And God, it's good to be a Kansas City fan.
Yeah, Kansas State's supposed to have a good football team. Jayhawks, best football team they've had since maybe 08.
Yeah.
Mizzou. Expectations to be in the college football championship in the playoff bracket. Royals are in first place. Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Few texts to come in. Won't we have to wait and answer the question yes or no on the cohesiveness until at least a few games? Well, that's why the head of the season, these are the most weapons that he's ever had around him.
Yeah.
So we'll see if these weapons pay off. My guesstimation or my educated yes would probably say that it's probably going to be just fine
yeah.
as opposed to what he's had in the past, except for maybe 2018.
Like, don't set yourself up for like, well, it may not, and I got to wait and see. Because when you do that, in my opinion, you forget to enjoy what's going
right.
on, and you're going to spend time wondering if this is going to continue. You got to live in the moment as a sports fan, you know? And I know everybody loves to throw their takes out there that I called this or I called that or
right.
I said this, and you stay wedded to those things. Mm. But there's a lot of times it's good to be wrong. Like, everybody was wrong about the Royals this year, right? And you know, I said at the beginning of the year, I thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good, right? So we were all wrong about the Royals this year. Stop overanalyzing the Chiefs. Just go enjoy the games, man, because before you know it, Patrick Mahomes is going to be retired. Travis Kelce is going to be the biggest star in Hollywood. Andy Reid's going to be sitting on the beach eating In-N-Out in California. Brett Veach is going to, you know, go retire and live in Delaware or Philadelphia or do whatever he's going to do when he's, you know, all said and done. And it's going to be over before we know it. And if you sit there and you spend time, you know, looking around and trying to figure out like what may stop them or can we count on, like this text, I don't know if we can say Rashee Rice can be counted on yet, could have a sophomore slump. Why are you thinking that way? Why are you thinking that way? The man's coming off basically a 1,000-yard season as a rookie, and they absolutely love everything about him. Like, enjoy the moment, man. Stop worrying about the minutiae of sports. Just enjoy what's going on, because we've never had this kind of success in Kansas City. You got the current that's challenging for a championship. I mean, like, every one of our teams is doing something special. Embrace it.
No doubt about it. Quickly, before we go to break, the odds are out for being negative. I guess we could kind of switch that whole thought process of coaches likely to be fired. To clear the slate, Andy Reid is plus 50,000.
Right, last in odds, right?
And he's last in odds as also winning coach of the year, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah. What do you think happens first? Andy Reid gets fired or wins coach of the year?
Coach of the year.
I see. I don't think either happens. Ever.
Well, he's never going to get fired. And if he does end it, he's going to go out on his own terms. But the leader in the clubhouse with the best odds of getting fired is Dennis Allen at plus 275.
I mean, that does nothing for me. Like, Dennis Allen sounds like your dentist or your insurance agent or, like, you know, the grade school principal.
Well, either way, he is top of the list of getting fired.
Yeah, that was my pick. I didn't even know he was the favorite until I looked just now.
Dennis Allen.
My pick. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Why? Just because it's so is there anything more nondescript about New Orleans than Dennis Allen?
Because he has Derek Carr. Everybody that Derek Carr coaches gets fired.
And because he wanted Derek Carr. Yeah. He wanted to pay Derek Carr $60 million. And the franchise said, okay, fine, we'll do it. And they paid Dennis Allen. And Dennis Allen has sucked before. He's sucked now. This is his third season. They went over 509 games last year. I think that's...
And his own team went against him last year when Jameis went ahead and scored the touchdown.
Yeah,
I called it down. Jameis like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
The next one is Mike McCarthy, followed by Brian Daboll. Yep. And then Todd Bowles is the fourth. Do you guys have any guesses on who you might see get fired first in the NFL?
I think this is a hard one to predict, actually, because I think Mike McCarthy ends up losing his job, but I don't think it's early, right? I think it's the end of the year when you know, Jerry gets a little nervous and whatnot. So I think he comes later in the year. I just think it's Matt Eberflus, because I think the expectation in Chicago is so high right now for them, right? It's hard to argue that, like, everybody and their brother thinks they're going to be good. And if they stumble out of the gate and they have, like, a 1-3 September, I could see the Bears getting antsy right there and making a move on Matt Eberflus early, because I feel like he was brought back barely and he's hanging by a thread. And if they get off to a slow start, I could see them hitting the eject button in Chicago.
Three AFC South games to start their season: Titans, Texans, Colts, and they play the Rams. You're right. At that 1-3, that's not great.
That's not great, especially against those teams.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Exactly. And you have to look at that when predicting this.
Right.
I mean, that's why I think the Saints is partially that my pick too. So I get that.
Yeah.
Schedule's a big part of it.
I would say it's either Sean McDermott or Mikey Mack.
Oh, you think Mikey Mack may get fired?
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't like Mikey Mack. Don't include my name in his. I don't like that.
I kind of like that. That's an interesting. I like that you're going out and the Sean McDermott one to me is, that's one I thought would have happened last year had Kadarius Toney not lined up offsides.
Right. And McCarthy is, he's in the Jerry Jones doghouse the day he was hired. So it's you're always looking over your shoulder, and Dallas can always do something very sporadically quickly as well.
And the other one is Robert Saleh, too. You know, if the Jets don't get off to a great start, you know, look, if the Jets go 3-and-out on their first drive, they will be calling for Robert Saleh to be fired. Okay, let's just call it what it is.
Right. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMasters patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Bob's got a Royal hypothetical on the other side. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Better believe it. Back in first place.
That's
love
right.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
It's really good right now to be a baseball fan in Kansas City. It's really good to be a football fan in Kansas City right now.
They sweep them today, boys. You might see Dusty post on the old social media, breaking out the nice bourbon, having a good stick with it, and sitting in 93-degree heat at 3 o'clock, not giving a rip, dude.
Sitting there basting in your own juices. Today's the last day, right? Like, it's supposed to be 75 on Friday.
God, I love being alive right now. Chiefs going for a three-peat. Royals in first place, taking the first 3 out of 3 from Cleveland. We asked on Twitter, or I asked on Twitter, or X, 10-10 in this next 20. How would you feel about that? Everyone said, well, that'd be awesome. Well, you're in the first six, you're 4-2.
Yeah, and I think 10-10 right now is an undersell for this team. And if they ended up going 10-10 over the stretch, I'd probably look at you and go, that was kind of a disappointment with the way that it started. Like, it's okay to adjust expectations as you go through this thing. After those, you know, two out of three to the Phillies and losing the way that they did, yeah, you would have signed up for 10-10. Then they come back and they've taken care of business, sweeping a doubleheader, winning a rain delay affair yesterday like they did, the bullpen going out there and kicking ass and taking names, and guys not named Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny doing the job in the lineup yesterday. Like, okay, I'm taking more than 10-10, Dusty, and 10-10 right now would be a disappointment. This team is playing great baseball, and they've got that swagger and they got that confidence. I can't wait to talk to Q in about an hour from now. Get his take on this whole thing, his take on the first place Royals.
It'll be the Royals' Michael Wacha, who carries an 11-6 record, a 3.32 ERA, against Guardians' Tanner Beebe. I believe that's how you say that name. B-I-B-E-E. 10-6.
I think it's pronounced Bebe.
10-6 with a 3.46 ERA. Pretty good even pitching matchup today.
I like that matchup.
Royals are the underdog, plus 125 on the money line. Cleveland plus or minus 150.
Remember when the Royals were the underdog yesterday and I asked, why are the Royals the underdog in this game?
That's right.
Why are they the underdog in this game? They just won three straight over this team. They've got the head-to-head record against this team. They're in first place.
You are 10 minutes away from hearing baseball with the Royals again. We've made a promise to you. We'll play at the top of every hour.
Right.
This show will be loaded with Royals conversation because there will not be a show really between 10 and 2. So you get to hear us hammer your Royal ears, which I think that you are okay with that here on 96.5 The Fan, where you can hear Verner's pregame show, Royals pregame, Royals game, Royals post, and then Carrington and Rob will take you off the end of the day with more.
I don't know about the Royals, Rob. I think they're going to collapse late. I agree, Carrington.
I don't know if they said that.
Coming from the show that had Travis Kelce washed, they now have the Royals lose. No, I'm kidding. Who knows? I don't know.
Let's have positive vibes.
Got to have positive vibes. You got to. Like, if you don't have positive vibes about what's going on right now, come on now. Let's go.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a great time to be alive. And you can see this team of the Royals kind of answering expectations throughout the season. Can they be competitive throughout the year? Yes. That changes your other expectations. Can they become a playoff team? Yes. Can they be a serious threat to good winning teams? Yes. They've done that against Cleveland. And then you, Bob Fesco, came up with a hypothetical that says you get to pretend that you are JJ and Sherman.
Right.
Says to you, this offseason, JJ Fesco, you have the ability to give one contract of your liking to one player on the roster that you could lock up long-term.
Money's
right now.
Not an issue.
No issue in money. Who do you give that money to?
Cole Reagans.
Okay.
I'm giving it to Cole Reagans because there's something about an ace at the top of your rotation that just makes life better, right? And we know how hard it is to acquire pitching on the free agent market. As much as I like Corbin Burns and want him here, John, sign Corbin Burns. Let's go. But that's probably going to be about a $350 million investment. It's hard to acquire starting pitching. It's easier to keep that starting pitching when you have it. I would sign Cole Reagans to a long-term deal. I know he's had the two Tommy John surgeries, but he's been nothing but brilliant since he's come here to Kansas City. That's the guy that I would be willing to invest in long-term. What about you?
And it's current roster, so you can't be like, I'd go give it to Freddie Freeman if I could. Right. I'm just saying a hypothetical name.
Right. And also, just so you know, Bobby Witt's locked up, so he doesn't factor into this equation as well. Yeah.
I think the obvious answer would be Cole Reagans because you want the youth, and you would hope that the arm is back to where it needs to be after having two surgeries. But if I had to give a contract, I think maybe you give it to Lucas Hiršek.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Right. Yeah. I know closers,
but he's got another year under contract.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
But I also don't want to have to worry about looking over my shoulder as if he might get a, because if this is like the start of him being a dominant closer, then there's a chance that, you know, it could be cheaper than it would be in a couple of years. You get away from that 1 year of control. I'm just saying, if I don't get to take Reagans because it's already been chosen, I'm not going to give a huge contract to Lugo due to age.
No.
Waka, the same thing. Marsh, obviously not. Singer would be a question mark.
I think Singer's going to be a nice trade bait option this offseason. I think you can get better than Brady Singer. And I think if you have an opportunity to flip Brady Singer and make your roster better and he has to be part of that deal, I think you go ahead and do that.
But I think that if I had to do it, I would lock up my closer, because then if money's not an issue and closers can make some decent cash in the free agency market or in the market alone, like you've seen Kenley Jansen and what's the The guy that used to play for Boston, now he plays for Baltimore. Can't think of his name. Kimbrel.
Yeah.
He's made a ton of money as well.
But the thing with the closer is, though, Dusty, I mean, we saw with Wade Davis, these guys hit it and quit it. And so investing long-term in a closer, you know, is like investing in a running back long-term.
What's long-term to a closer? 3 years? I mean, so you give him a three-year contract?
Yeah, he's got 1 year left four? And sign him up for two more. You sign him for another three and have him for four.
That may be
too long for a closer, right? And, you know, there's very few that have stood the test of time at those positions, and they're basically all Hall of Famers, right? Mariano Rivera, Kenley Jansen probably end up going in, you know, to the Hall of Fame. He's been really, really good as well. But, closers, I mean, that's a tough position for me to spend that money in. I understand why you say Ursi, because we finally got a guy at the back of the bullpen that you know you can truly rely on. But Wade Davis lasted only like 2 years, really, when you think about it.
But they developed that later. Like, imagine they developed that earlier. They let him be a starter the exact same time.
Yeah.
And the other thing that
it's such a high leverage position. Like, you're going 1,000% with every pitch when you're that closer.
Sure. But that would also lock away at least one position that you would go out and find in free agency. Like, I think that you will see a lot of similarities to J.J. Bacolo to Brett Veach this offseason, where he'll be like, you know what? The importance is maybe going and find an leadoff hitter, go find a good mid reliever, and then maybe try to find a starter that you could put as like a third or fourth guy if you wanted to. And again, I understand that, you know, the control and all that stuff with Irsig. I just didn't want to say Reagan's because that's bad radio to just be like, yeah, I agree. Next question.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously the answer on the wall that's clear and bold black writing is Cole Reagan's, lock him up, let him be your ace, take that whole situation out of it.
Right.
But what
about Vinny?
Yeah, I
sense a little hesitation from you, and I sense a little hesitation from me as well.
Vinny's been great since the second half. Mm-hmm. Let me see a full year of Vinny.
Okay.
And again, he's going to have 100 RBIs. He's going to have over 20 home runs. He's going to hit 260.
How much of the first half was he still battling that shoulder injury?
And that's the thing.
You know? And finally is like to that point where he's fully healthy.
Other thing too is, and I hate to say this, but there are other Vinny Pasquantinos out there.
There are.
There could be other
Jack Caglione out there, right?
And that's the other thing, too, is like maybe just give Caglione the contract now, bring him up during the roster expansion, see him just go absolutely ape blank, you know what, in the playoffs, which that's not going to happen, but either way.
But you wonder how much Vinny, when I look at a player.
The Royals have control on Irsig. Saying, if I could lock somebody up.
Right, it's a hypothetical conversation, right? Like, I look at Vinny and I wonder how much of his value is truly being that team guy, you know, in the clubhouse versus being a guy that's going to put up the numbers for you. Like, does his value inside that clubhouse outweigh his production where you're like, we got to keep this guy. He's like that glue holding us together like a Jeremy Guthrie was. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Vinny is producing better than Guthrie did in 2014 and 15, but Guthrie was kind of that guy that held everything together and was like the guy in that clubhouse. I wonder how much of that factors in when you're thinking about, you know, potentially making a move, because this offseason, the only way you get better is you got to make hard moves. Okay. You got to make hard decisions. And I go back to it all the time. When people say you can't trade Vinny or you can't trade Singer, I say the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. And Zach Greinke for the Royals.
And the Royals traded Zach Greinke, right? But now that team wasn't ready to win. The Royals right now are where the Chiefs were basically when they traded Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They were ascending. They were a good team. They wanted to continue to move forward, and Tyreek Hill wanted to get paid. They didn't want to pay him. They traded him. Everybody said, oh my God, this team is not going to be any good without Tyreek Hill. They've done nothing but win the Super Bowl since, right? Those bold moves are sometimes moves that you have to make that hurt you in December, but by the time the season rolls around and the guys you acquire, they're able to take you to that next level. And I feel like Brady and Vinny could be two guys that you look at this offseason that you could potentially spin and use in a trade to make your overall roster that much better.
We'll bring up the Royals again on the top of the hour. You'll get baseball with the Royals here in about 3.5 minutes. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.